John chapter 1. We are going to be in John chapter 1 all day today. This chapter, the entire chapter and various portions of the chapter, the Lord really blessed it to my heart. It just opened up. I saw our message, and then I saw our Bible study, and then I saw the evening message, all right here in John chapter 1. I pray the Lord will make it a blessing to all of us. This is a very special place to be. Every word in the Scripture is a special and precious word, but John 1 is a very, very special chapter. It's a glorious chapter. Over the course of these three messages today, we're going to touch on some verses in one message, and we'll spend some time on verses in another message, and that's what we're going to do this morning. Verses 11 to 13, we're going to touch on them tonight, but we're going to spend some time on them this morning in this Bible study. All day long, we're going to look at God's operation of salvation. All day long. God's operation of salvation. The order of it. The means of it. The outcome of it. The focus all day long is going to be God's operation in His work. His work of salvation, and that is the saving of His people. And that's what I want to stress. His people. That's where we're going to start. We're going to start by seeing in this Bible study that God purposed the work of salvation for His people. That's where we're starting. God chose a particular people to save. It's a people that He calls His elect. He calls them His elect. And what I want us to really see in this is only God's elect will be saved. And had God not chosen to elect a people, nobody would have been saved. That's what I want us to see. Only God's elect will be saved. And had God not chosen to elect a people, nobody would have been saved. Nobody. Election, this word, election, this is one of the sweetest declarations. If you want to talk about love and kindness and goodness and mercy, election is one of the sweetest declarations that a sinner, a true sinner, I'm talking about a true sinner, not a self-righteous person, but a true sinner. This is one of the sweetest things a true sinner has ever heard. Election is the sweetest truth. It is a precious kindness from God to a sinner. From God to a sinner. Election is God choosing to save a sinner in spite of the sinner. That's what election is. It's God choosing and purposing to show goodness and kindness and mercy and love to a sinner in spite of that sinner. We can see that in this first verse that we read, all right? John 1. Verse 11, it says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Boy, what a verse. What a verse. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Election is God choosing to save a sinner in spite of the sinner. That's what it is. The reason that we confidently know that had God not chosen to save his people, nobody would be saved. The reason we know that is because no one, not one soul on this earth wanted him. Not one soul desired him. Not one soul received him. He came unto his own. And his own wouldn't even receive him. Life came. Salvation came. Redemption came to the ones that he chose to save. And they didn't want him. They did not want him. More accurately, it should be said, we did not want him. More accurately, that's what needs to be said. We did not want him. Turn with me over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, the heading at the top of my page says, the humiliation and sufferings of Christ. That's what it says at the top of the page there in the Old Testament. The humiliation and sufferings of Christ. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody could say, well, how could Isaiah, who lived hundreds of years before Christ even came to the earth, how could he be speaking of Christ? Christ hadn't even come yet. How could he be writing of Christ? Every word in the Old Testament is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all. Genesis 1:1 is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. So right here in Isaiah 53, this is speaking of Christ. In verse 1 says, who hath believed our report? Whose report? The report that God gave to his prophets and God gave to his apostles, the report written in this word. As we read the word and the flesh of man says, I don't believe that. That's the first instinct of man. I don't believe that. Well, here's the question. It goes out. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. Speaking of Christ coming, being born into the world, growing up. He hath no form nor comeliness, meaning he looks like every other man. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. That's amazing. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and again, Isaiah wasn't even on the earth when the Lord was here. Why does he say we? We, speaking on behalf of every child of God, every man and woman ever born. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Not the way God says. I want to go the way I want to go. I want to believe the way I want to believe. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we can clearly see that God chose to have mercy on his people in spite of them. In spite of them. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 says, we were chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So go with me back to John chapter 1. John 1, verse 11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not," did not want him, would not have him. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him," as many as were forced to receive him. Thank God. This is where thank God comes into play. "As many as against their own will were forced to receive him." Irresistible grace. That's what it was. When he came, man tried to resist it. Grace came and man tried to resist him, but it was irresistible. To the ones he came to, irresistible. Verse 12 goes on to say, "To them gave he the power," that means the right or the privilege, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." That means they were arrested. They were apprehended. They were laid hold of. They were caused to come. That's what happened. Look with me at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 47, it says, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." As many as were ordained to it. Ordained from before the foundation of the world. As many as were ordained to it believed. Had they not been ordained to it, they wouldn't have. But they were. So they did. And that's what verse 13 tells us back in John 1. Go back with me to our text. John 1. Verse 11. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him." And I want to point out that that does not say accepted. "As many as accepted him." It says "as many as received him." You can receive something whether you want to or not. Whether you accept it or not. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Verse 13 says, "which were born." Born. People talk about being born again, being saved, being, "well, I'm born again." I have a lot of people tell me that I'm a born again Christian. "Which were born." All right. This is why they received him. This is what their election was unto. It says, "which were born." That means given life. That's what it means. Born. "Which were saved," which were redeemed. Verse 13 says, "not of blood," meaning man's blood, their own blood. Now he just said some did receive him and some did not. Some did and some did not. So what this tells us is, number one, everybody is not going to be saved. That's a stark truth, isn't it? Everybody's not going to be saved. The reality is none. I'm looking at a whole room full of people who would not. None would receive him. None. None would. None will. None will receive him outside of him choosing to receive them. You know what John said? He said, we love him. We love him because he first loved us. We're just responding. David said in Psalm 27, after you said, seek ye my face, my heart cried unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I seek him only because he sought me first. I'm just responding to him. When he says, come, I come. So none did receive him, none would, none will, outside of him choosing to receive them first. And that's the first thing we need to understand about salvation. It's only to those that he chooses to save. Salvation is not to everybody. It's not in a family tree. It's not in a nationality. It's not in any type of pedigree. I'm not saved just because my parents were saved. I'm not saved just because I was born into a nation that calls itself a Christian nation. Look with me at Romans 2. In type and in picture, the Jews represent God's people, God's chosen people. But Romans 2, verse 28 says, he's not a Jew, meaning a spiritual child of God. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. He's not a Jew just because he's a Jew. He's not a child of God just because he was born into that nation. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, that mark of being set apart. But he's a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What does that mean? That means men are not made to be children of God by way of their nation, by way of their tradition, by way of their religion. God chose who he would have mercy on. God chose who he would call to himself. And in Revelation 5, verse 9, he said it was a people out of every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every tongue on this earth. So back in John 1, verse 13 says, receiving Christ, receiving life, being made to be a child of God. He said, it's not of blood. It's not because of anything about a man. Race, place, face, not anything about a man. Verse 13 says, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not because of anything about a man. It's not because of anything in a man. It's not because of his will. People talk about man's free will. They talk about man's decision. When you got to make your choice and you got to make your... It's not because of man's decision. It's not of the will of the flesh. As a matter of fact, if you look at John chapter 5, it says over in John 5, verse 40, John 5, verse 40, the Lord himself said concerning sinful man, he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not. Verse 41, he said, I receive not honor from men. I don't receive honor from men. God receives honor from his spirit in man. crying out for man, creating a new creature in man. Verse 42, he said, I know you that you have not the love of God in you. He said, I'm come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. You'll receive another man who comes in his own name with his own way and his own, but he said, you won't receive me. Who is he speaking to right there? He's speaking to everybody. Every man. Just listen to this, okay? This is Romans 3, verses 10 and 11. This says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. So it most certainly is not in the will of the flesh. And back in John 1, verse 13 says, nor of the will of man, which were born, not of the blood, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Any other man, any other woman, like a grandmother thinks she can pray her children, grandchildren into heaven. Or a sorely mistaken religious man, you know, who just takes so much pride in thinking he can lead somebody to Christ. I just led him to Christ right there. And, you know, it's not in that. That's not how it works. Or a foolish, lost preacher, poor preacher standing in a pulpit. He thinks he's a soul winner. So he thinks he's doing. I'm out there winning souls for the Lord. God's chosen people are not born to eternal life of their own blood. They're not born of the will of the flesh. They're not born of the will of another man. How are they born then? The end of verse 13 says, they are born of God. They are born of God. It is a work that God does, start to finish. It's a glorious work. It's a surprising work to the one it comes to and everybody around them. Look who the Lord saved. Boy, I wouldn't have thought it would have been them. They are born of God. God does it start to finish. This is what we're going to see all day. Our message is second verse, same as the first. And that's the same thing for tonight. Don't turn, but 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, of God are you in Christ Jesus. I must be in Christ. You must be in Christ. How do we get there? Of God are you in Christ Jesus. That means it's of God. The birth of life into being a child of God, that birth was by the will of God and by the blood of God. It's not man's blood. It's not man's flesh, not man's will. It was Christ's flesh and Christ's blood and Christ's will. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, this is my story. This is my song. That birth came through the incorruptible seed of God. That's how it comes. When you get to the conclusion of the whole matter, this is all that can be said. We could just say this one thing and walk out. Salvation is of the Lord. Period. No buts about it. In spite of us. If we add anything to that, it's this. In spite of us. Most certainly without our help in any way, shape, or form. Of God are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him say, God did it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We're going to expound, Lord willing, we'll expound on that all day today. I want to close this Bible study with the last few verses of 1 Peter 1. Turn with me over there to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.